And Ashley Morgan, Sidewinder. Somehow or another, I like the name Sidewinder. Seems appropriate for the kind of commentary and interviews we do in the Taylor Report. By the way, we're on SoundCloud and Facebook. You can follow us and contact us, etc. And Phil Conlon is here.
Well, Phil, I'm wondering about something. The Chinese and the Americans kind of struck something of a trade deal in this past week. We don't know how extensive it is. But that's always good news, right? If the two biggest powers can get along and stop quarreling, that sounds like a good development. Maybe, you know, it might lower the temperature of the political heat of the world. But, you know, Justin Trudeau has an opinion. Yes. Which is that, Mr. Trump, please don't sign the deal until these guys do something that we want them to do.
Yes. My issue with the is with the reporting, and it's apropos of our talking to Eve Engler. I notice that the media have actually misrepresented the prime minister's words. And it shows that how easily we have slipped into the new Cold War mode, because actually he said he urged the United States not to conclude this deal until the matter of the two Canadians and Wang Zhou of Huawei, until these matters are cleared up.
And well, that latter part wasn't reported.
The latter part, yes. No, because you see, it seems unmilitant or perhaps unmasculine or something that because the media want. I have in my hand actually a story from the Star today. I think it is. It's Saturday, where they say that he's asking for the release of the two Canadians. That's half true. You know, somebody says half truth is worse than a lie. Because it gets the mind heading in the wrong direction, and you don't want that to happen. He actually included all three, but I think that propagandists are propagandists. They for some reason they've chosen to in much of the reporting to not point out that he actually talked about all, because he isn't entirely crazy. He understands that really one cannot be separated from the other. And all sides can say, oh, we don't want to hear about them. I want to hear about this. Okay. If you're on one side, you get to say that. But the other guy gets to say what he says. And back to this question of journalism, why isn't it just reported straight up the way he put it? And frankly, I don't have an answer to that. It just seems to me that it shows that there's a greater interest in doing propaganda than there is in getting at matters. And we said on this program, and it's interesting, the number of other people who also say these things are somewhat prominent, who don't get a lot of press, even though they're designed to get press, like Jean Chrétien, or people identified with the Chrétien wing of the Liberal Party, all of whom said, you know, we really shouldn't have got into this mess. We should have just said we're not going to arrest somebody who hasn't committed a crime in Canada, who is actually a business person, belongs to a corporation. This is a corporate issue. And there's a new question out, which is there any country in the world that would do this for the United States except us? You know, and I don't know, maybe Guam? It's certainly not Mexico.
No, not Mexico.
No self-respecting country.
Right.
Well, Mexico, after all, is now hosting Mr. Morales.
Right.
The U.S. and the junta in Bolivia wanted to kill Morales.
Right. Well, there are three countries in the United Nations that vote with the Americans and Israel on a whole slew of resolutions that nobody else in the world, including their closest allies, supports the Americans on. So maybe those guys would have... They would have done it, but of course, they're very tiny places, and she wouldn't have been changing planes there.
Some of them
are sinking in the ocean, too. I mean, they need a friend.
Yeah, they need a friend. But by the way, that one, I wouldn't... their chances have not improved. But anyhow, that's where the issue lies, in my opinion, is it... The very fact that they can't even report this straightforward means that we're in bad shape. I mean, it shows how if you are interested in the truth, you have to scramble. You have to really work hard to get the simplest information. So anyway, that's that matter. And so we were going to talk about some others.
Well, we certainly are. There is the issue that the Americans and their friends, including, once again, the Canadians, are vitally concerned about the human rights, not of anybody in the United States or Canada that I can see, but of the Uyghurs in China. And they have discovered that this is like a very, very important issue to them. Yes. And then, of course, that they're making all kinds of very serious allegations. One of the allegations actually has gotten into the area that they've killed so many Uyghurs, and a commentary I pointed out that the population of Xinjiang, the places where the Uyghurs live, is actually only a fraction of the number of people that this commentator had said had been killed. So I mean, there's like really wild accusations, and you know, the Chinese have a point of view, but once again, it's not being presented here.
You know, right? Something, China's neighbors, yeah. All of them, yeah. Do not have a problem with this issue. And it's, I would call it the so-called Uyghur issue. It has to be labeled that way because, in fact, this is very peculiar that the Organization of Muslim Countries, the largest one, has actually complimented China on its handling of this, because it's categorized as a terrorist issue. And whether the U.S. media does not care to talk about it, but between 2009 and 2013, there was a very aggressive armed movement inside Xinjiang province, which is the autonomous area of the Uyghurs. And these attacks were vicious, with quite a number of lives lost. Now, the United States gave itself a badge to go to war on the world after 9/11. They said, you know, it's not just we're going to operate within continental USA, which would be its purview, but they said we're going to go after these bad guys wherever we find them. Now, this area we're talking about, where the attacks 2009 through 13 organized violent murderous assaults on, which were terrorist in character. When I say terror, you know, it's attacking civilians is terrorism, a non-combatant, an innocent bystander who is killed for propaganda purposes, just to kill them to say we did that, the way the Al-Qaeda people operate. So the world agreed we have to fight terrorism. That was, everybody got a license to fight terrorism. Well, the Chinese exercised that and have gone after the terrorist element. But the U.S. has decided to turn it into something else. And they really don't have any place to be talking because they exclude Muslims from coming to the United States. The Muslim community, there's a statistic shows 70% of the Muslim population in the United States feels somewhat persecuted. For a very good reason, because there is a kind of Islamophobic hysteria. So for the United States to decide it's going to take on this subject where it has no basis, and then also to be allied with groups with names like the East Turkestan Liberation Movement, there is no East Turkestan. There's China. And it's like calling, if you wanted to say, Southwest United States, Mexico, and the American government would not be too happy. So it's the game of misnomers which they're playing. And again, the neighboring states to China have pointed out that they don't have a problem with China's policy because, by the way, they're all doing the same thing. And this is the Taylor Report. I want to make sure we just get some facts, basic ones. There are 200 million people who have faith, belong to one faith group or another in China. 20 million are Muslims. There are 300,000 clerics, you know, priests, whomever, imams. That's 300,000 in China. There are 5,500 religious groups, 5,500 religious groups. I suspect that's more than they got in the U.S. That's different groupings. And then there are 140,000 places of worship. And in Xinjiang province, the autonomous region of China, of the Uyghurs, there are 20,000 mosques. That's a lot of mosques. And yet we have people here with a straight face will say, it's genocide. They're trying to eliminate the Muslims. No, there is no evidence of that at all. What there is evidence of is that there was a terrorist operation with international support and friends abroad. And it's possible they're all in good faith and they mean it and they're honest. However, they used weapons and they struck at civilians, and it's a crime in China, like it would be here. And so that has been something that's been done about it. More importantly, actually, China has been putting more and more investment into this region. They make the point that China develops from the coast inland. That's true of a lot of countries. The coastal cities are doing all right, but the inland, you go inland any country, it gets a little poor. So they actually have a government and an economy that where they can actually distribute wealth and they can distribute investment and they look to develop people. And so that's what they're doing in this region, and more power to them. This is a Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It is 89.5. FM, and we had another matter we were going to talk some further, I think. Was it?
It was about Myanmar and this business of the proceedings at the International Court of Justice.
Yes, the International Court of Justice.
I love that name. It sounds very...
Isn't it a great name?
Yeah.
I got to say, on that matter, that I was struck by the prosecutor. By the way, we know Suu Kyi was there, Aung San Suu Kyi. And the prosecutor said, I want the court to know, and he really wanted to buttress his case. He says, to show you how serious this is, why we have to address it. He says, the United States government has sanctioned the Myanmar military for what is going on in this area, Rakhine State. So he said, and he wanted the court to know that. And I was thinking, this is what you call the world court. All those judges are from various places in the world. So I thought to myself, do those judges, surely they're saying things like Abu Ghraib? Guantanamo? And so the government you're telling me about that had Abu Ghraib with virtually no prosecution, certainly not of officers, and then the one that is currently running Guantanamo, they're interested, are they, in the behavior of the Myanmar military? You don't say. Well, there's another matter, too. The President of the United States has now famously pardoned a war criminal. His name is Gallagher. He's from the Navy SEALs. And how do we know he's a war criminal? Because the Navy SEALs said he was a war criminal. He was turned in by six other Navy SEALs who were in the same unit with him. The incident involved a 17-year-old who'd been wounded and was under sedation, who had his throat cut. He texted a friend with a photo of him holding the head by the hair, 17-year-old boy, and he said, I got him with my hunting knife. By the way, he beat that charge, which tells you something about the quality of justice. At least the Navy wanted to show that they don't permit that kind of behavior. There's a thing called Uniform Code of Military Justice. I was once under that myself. And it's supposed to mean something. But Gallagher did all these things. And by the way, about the six Navy, his fellow Navy SEALs who turned him in, he called them the mean girls. This guy is out of his mind. This is the kind of fellow, by the way, you don't want in a military unit anywhere in the world. And it's showing that they've lost control over their own military. This guy, he's an officer. Officers judged him, and the United States government said, oh, that's okay. Gallagher gets a walk, And now Trump is inviting Gallagher to attend rallies so people get to see him because he says he's a hero. So the man who did that is called a hero. And the prosecutor at the Myanmar tribunal said to the court, the U.S. government has sanctioned the officers of the Myanmar army. This is the guy who pardoned? He pardoned Gallagher. He overrode his own military and said, Gallagher did these things, and I'm going to give him a pass. And not just him. There were two others. Their names don't occur to me. Also convicted of war crimes, which he pardoned. And so I don't think that strengthened the case of the prosecution of Myanmar. And I would say U.S., of course, would never allow itself to be brought in front of such a court. It would never do it. They would say, no, we're not going.
They were in front of that court at the time of the Iran-Contras, and the court found against them. And they announced at the time, well, we're going to ignore this result.
They did ignore it.
Yeah, it's, we have no intention of obeying the court.
And they haven't been back.
Right.
And basically the word is don't bother.
Right?
Don't bother.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to keep all that in mind. And we'll be talking about this in the future. We'll point out that people bring up the word Rohingya. Bob Ray said, she did not mention the word. Kofi Annan, former Secretary General of the United Nations, he wrote a report. He didn't mention a word either because he said he respected all the political leaders and religious leaders of Myanmar Tulib. Don't use that word because we have various words to describe this people, all of which are inflammatory. Be careful. We don't want a civil war in our country. But Mr. Ray and others want to throw the word out there, see if they can get a civil war going. Anyway, this has been the Taylor Report. Mick has been looking after us. We're very grateful. We hope you have a nice holiday, and we'll come back and next week talk about all the same stuff.